You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He, of course, will be on the call with Mitch Holthus, Josh Klingler this Sunday night at Arrowhead. Going to be a cold one, but Danen will be in the warm, cozy booth while Kling is freezing his butt off on the sideline. What's going on, man?
Well, I just put away my violin for Klingler since he'll be on the sideline. You know, we'll have a taste for him after the game, just one shot for him, because I know he'll be freezing down on the field. And I feel so sorry for him. I do, can't you tell?
Yeah, I can
don't
really
sense any sarcasm at all.
A lot of sympathy there as we're talking to Danen Hughes, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. And brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Real quick, what do you make of this college football right now? I mean, obviously the news with Chris Klieman retiring and likely Colin Klein taking over. You played at Iowa. I know you still go to college football games. You've called college football games here recently as well.
Yeah.
What needs to change? Do you think where we're at in college football is sustainable?
Well, first, I want to give a nod to Chris Klieman. I actually called several of his games with the Missouri Valley Football Conference, which is like the SEC of the SCS. If you're not familiar with North Dakota State, South Dakota State, North Dakota, all those schools, UNI, that is the cream of the crop of that division of football. He did a great job, obviously, transitioning to K-State, and I wish the best for them. You guys know Bill Snyder was my offensive coordinator in college, so I've always had an affection for K-State Wildcat football, and one of my close friends, Kevin Lockett, and his boys go there as well.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think the nature of college football, and I agree with you guys. I was listening earlier in regards to, like, how many teams is enough? And when do you get to a point where, okay, it was four. First it was two, and you had the BCS. Then you had four. Now you're increasing. Like, there's always going to be that outlier of one team or two teams that can argue to be in the field. We see that with college basketball. And the NCAA tournament. So I don't think football would be any different. It's just a matter of setting the standards and trying to address the elephant in the room in regards to, do you want the 12 teams or do you want the 12 teams based on being the best in their conferences and beating the best teams? What representative or what representation do you really want for a college football playoff system? I guess for me, if you're in a conference that happens to have three of the best teams in college football and you've lost to two of them, I don't think that should make you automatically one of the top 12 teams. If there's a team in the Big Ten or in the ACC that has run the table and has done it in dominant fashion. You can only schedule who you can only schedule. So I guess I'm of the school of thought that conferences matter, records matter, encouraging teams to play head-to-head, I do understand matters, even though we got this dynamic with Notre Dame and who they play early
in
the
season.
Miami, yeah, Notre Dame and Miami. I understand that factor, but there's been a lot of football since that game. And just because they both end the season with the same record, like August was a long time away. So I get it. It's almost an impossible predicament for the selection committee. And I don't know what's the right system to implement. I just think that conference should matter. Otherwise, do away with the entire conference and just have a free-for-all, everybody play whoever, and then choose from there. But then there's going to be, you know, the power ratings comes into play of you're not playing these, you know, cupcake non-conference games, and teams are being able to, based on their preseason ranking and the fact that they didn't do anything to lose a ranking, but they may not have done anything to gain in ranking, will put them over the top. So it's a convoluted system. I get it. But it's broken. The NCAA is broken. I think there needs to be a union representative or representation with players regarding the NIL and structure, but that's a whole nother topic we can discuss another time.
Let's talk about the Chiefs on Sunday. Obviously, we know every single week you come on, they're essentially in a must-win situation. We knew if they could lose a game, the Cowboys was one they could afford. The Texans game is not. I guess let's start with the offensive line. Do you think they will adjust their game plan to protect Patrick Mahomes better? This season, they have not done that a lot, even in games they lose, at least start doing kind of the same thing, Dana. How do you think they'll handle the Texans' pass rush?
So here's my mindset, guys, and I may be in the minority. Everybody's got a job to do. Everybody gets paid. And whether you are second on the depth chart, fourth offensive lineman, a rookie, a journeyman, a versatile offensive lineman that rotates from position to position, you get paid every Monday, and you got a job to do. Go do it. And I don't think the recipe for success is catering to what you may assume is a weakness, and then you're actually putting your entire offense in jeopardy, because when you start chipping with extra tight ends or you start rotating extra tight ends in, what do? That's one less player that's downfield that's able to go out for a pass route and be a viable source for Patrick Mahomes. So I know convenient thinking is leave a running back in, help the offensive lineman. Leave a tight end in, chip a defensive lineman or a rusher off. Okay, how often do you do that? When do you do it? Do you only do it on first down? Do you do it on third and long? Like, you get where I'm going with it? Like, I think it really just comes down to we're paying you to do a job. If you can't do a job, we'll find somebody else to do the job in case this happens next year or later in the season. And I feel like as a player, like, I don't want to go into the game thinking I'm handicapping the team and thinking that you're changing up game plans. Like, I've been a part of the game plan for 14 weeks. I've watched you, Matt Nagy and Andy Reid, stand up in front of the team and present what we're going to do as a unit that's going to be a winning performance. I can tell that if I came in this week, you all of a sudden catered something, and then you don't believe in me, and you're not giving me an opportunity to earn my money and showcase my skills, because I do believe as a player, I'm just as good as everybody else. Like, you don't believe you're less than.
Sure.
So then how are you able to showcase that? So I guess that's a long-winded answer to basically say, you get paid, go out there and earn your money.
So it totally makes sense. What about though, like as you're talking there, what came to mind was, while that might be the case for the player, as a coach though, is there not some responsibility, whether it's in game or going in? Like, if I as the coach though, feel like, hey, this player's strength or weakness is going to not allow us to do blank, I need to, you know, I don't know, move the pocket a little bit more to roll out to the right more or whatever it may be. Is that not still, though, absolutely something as a coach I have to be responsible for as much as the player might want to prove that they're not going to have a drop-off?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the game plan is the game plan, and we've seen, even with a full, healthy offensive line, we've seen Patrick Mahomes move the pocket. We've seen him roll to the right and run that sprint right option type of route. We've seen him roll halfway to the right and throw back deep across the field and utilize Xavier Worthy's speed. We've seen all of those different manipulations of the offense. My point is that let's continue to do that. Mm-hmm. And then in-game adjustments are, you know what, today is his day. And that dude, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr., they are eating my lunch. Okay, now we can make the adjustments within the game. I just don't like the idea, and I feel like from a player's perspective, you have been in those meetings and in the game planning sessions, and now all of a sudden we're, you know, like, let's say, for instance, when I played, if I was getting the start because guys were down and we were a run and shoot, throw the ball all over the lot, and now all of a sudden because Damon's starting, we're going to run the ball, that would be something that I don't think would be adopted very well by not just me, but by any of the players on the offense. Because now you're saying we're in a severe hole and this guy is hampering us and we can't do what we do. So I get the in-game adjustments are a part of every game plan, series to series, not just halftime. But I don't like the idea of, okay, we've had this mini bye since we played on Thursday. We kind of knew that these offensive linemen would probably not be available. We knew Josh Simmons was going to be on IR. Let's go ahead and cater this game plan against the Houston Texans in this fashion. I feel like it would be a little bit demoralizing to the rest of the guys.
What about the Texans' offense? You know, we've understandably so focused so much on this dominant defense, but offensively, I mean, C.J. Stroud has missed games. Even when he's played, he's been average. Hasn't looked like the guy a couple years ago that looked like he was going to be a top five, top 10, you know, quarterback in this league. Nico Collins has been banged up, but he looks like a stud. What do you make of the offense of the Texans?
I feel like their identity with D'Amico Ryans has been defense and offense, don't screw it up. Like, that's pretty much been the recipe for success since their 0-3 start. And C.J. Stroud, whether he was in the lineup or out of the lineup and helping the backup quarterback, et cetera, has to buy into that. Now, what we've seen in recent weeks or in recent starts for him, it seems like he does. He recognized Nico Collins as an automatic mismatch with his size, the bigger receivers. He's putting it in positions where those guys can go and make plays, and they're leaning more on their running game. And he's living for fourth down, flip the field, punt the ball to the other offense, and let the defense work its magic. If that's going to be a way for them to make the playoffs and make some noise in the AFC South, so be it. And I think he has to be the guy that has to buy into that. However, what we've seen time and time again over the course of the last 7+ years has been the inability of opposing quarterbacks that face Patrick Mahomes to go out on the field and execute a game plan that doesn't allow them to try to outshine Patrick a little bit. Like, we've seen that time and time again where the quarterbacks, they can't help themselves. Yeah. They can't help themselves but to want to showcase that, hey, I'm as good as 15 across the field. We've even seen coaches go against the game plan because they want to showcase that they're better than Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So I think that would be a severe misjudgment by D'Amico Ryans and the Houston Texans, especially coming in here with the weather the way it's supposed to be and how we have the 12th man with the fans. Like, we can hope that he tries to go and air it out. That would not bode well for them. But I think if they stick with their game plan that's gotten them to this point, protect the football and let the defense work its magic, then we're going to have a really, really tough time.
Are you with me, Dana, I guess, on the defense at least, where I don't think Spags has lost his magic touch? I think if you have four down linemen who can't get pressure, the blitzes don't work the same. Because when you blitz, if those guys aren't also helping contribute to the pressure, there's almost sometimes I like the call from Spags Fine, and that the pressure is not getting there, not his fault, I guess, in some sense, especially in those like third and longs against Dallas. Where do you think the pass rush has gone wrong? Is it just that the players aren't coming up? Do you think the scheme's been caught up to a little bit? Where do you think the issues are?
I think it's all on the players. I don't besmirch the name of Steve Spagnuolo now. I don't think that he is washed up. I don't think that anybody's figured him out. I think it's all on the players, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Four down linemen, Charles Omenihu, Chris Jones, Derek Nnadi, George Karloftis, if you rotate Jerry Tillery in there, Mike Pinnell, a semblance of four of those guys got to get to the quarterback. What teams are doing is basically they're saying, we don't believe that you can get to our quarterback with four. We're going to stop our running back in the backfield to protect just in case you blitz. And whether it's Shamari Connor, Trent McDuffie, Nick Bolton, Drew Tranquil that's blitzing, we'll have that running back there to help clean things up because we still don't believe that the four guys up front are going to get to the quarterback. And if by chance you don't blitz, then we're just going to leak that running back out and hit him as an outlet in case the quarterback is under duress. Like, that's literally the offense that we've seen week in and week out, whether it's the Broncos, the Colts, or even last week with the Cowboys. So if the four down linemen don't get the job done, then we're going to be swimming upstream like we have all season long. That's literally been the game plan against our defense. And I'd like for those guys to take that challenge personally. Like, we need more from the defensive line because every success that we could ever have on our defense is literally predicated on the front four. Trent McDuffie does not get those pass interference calls. Neither does Jalen Watson. We don't have the issues downfield if the front four guys are doing their job and wreaking havoc like we've seen them do in the past.
Do you find it hard to imagine a world in which they can still win five games in a row, or are you having a hard time quitting this team like some of us?
I think this game is huge. I feel good about the games at home. We've played our best football when we've been at home at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. It's Sunday night football. Everything is on the line. We have tiebreaker implications. We have playoff lives implications, and we got to get the job done. Once we get this job done, then I feel really good about the rest of the games being the opponents that we play. Obviously, the huge one will be Christmas night against the Broncos because they'll still have something to play for in regards to a number one seed. So they're going to come in here with a willingness. If we're able to run the gambit up until that point, they're coming in with the mindset of solidifying a number one seed, a bye week, and slaying the dragon of the Chiefs and putting us in our coffins for the year. And that's a lot of incentive for a divisional rival to come in. So our hands will be full then, but we get past this week against the Texans. I feel like there's going to be a boost in energy, a boost in confidence, especially if we're able to do it with our offense against that defense.
Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, will be listening Sunday night right on the Chiefs Radio Network. Appreciate it, man.
No problem. I'll be on tonight, too, as well. Players only. Back. We got some stuff to talk about.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.